You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574. Now, stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is Pastor David Ewers with Maranatha, church of worship, the word and healing. What a wonderful opportunity for it is for me to come before you and just to teach you. And to continue to, on this vein, is talking about teach me how to pray. But before we get into the Word of God, I want to encourage you to call us at 561-383-6574. I want you to be a part of this ministry, a very extraordinary ministry. A ministry that's going to teach, equip you, that you could walk in the fullness of what God has called you to be. Also, I want you to go to our website, Maranatha Inter, that's MARANATHAINTER.org, and you can learn a little bit more about our ministry and what we have to offer, and also has a place where you can sow. The scripture says if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly, and if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. So into this ministry, a ministry of integrity, a ministry of character, and I believe that your seed, that money that you sow into the seed, will come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So go to our website, click on the go to the tab where it says sow into this ministry and sow into this ministry. Right now we're engaged in trying to get our own building. So I want you to help us to come partnership with us. You've been listening. You've been blessed. You've been blessed every week. Now is the time to now take that next step and to now sow into that ministry that you know it's effective and it's been affecting your life. I know you've been getting some good teaching about teach me how to pray. So let us pray. Father, I thank you. You're such a wonderful God. We bless you and we honor you. You are our Abba, Father. We can literally, Lord God, run into you, Lord God, run into your name and have safety. Father God, we have a shalom. You are our peace. So, Father God, I pray now, God, for the people, Lord God, that are listening. Father God, across this country, we ask, Father God, for your perfect will, Lord God, to be done. We, Father God, we declare, Lord God, where there's unrest, we declare, Lord God, peace. Father God, where there's lack, we declare prosperity. Father God, I thank you, Father. You said at the entrance of your word, it gives light. So illuminate us, Lord God. Open the eyes of our understanding that we may comprehend the things that you have already readily given unto us. We praise you, Holy Spirit. We know we can't do anything without you as we honor our Jesus Christ, which is a name, has a name that's above every other name. We love you. We appreciate you. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ and we pray. Amen. Well, once again, I'm so excited. I know you can tell it in my voice that I have such a great class. You're listening and I believe that you're being taught principle of how to pray and how to now use your prayer and to be efficient. That young person, now you're taking the information that is being taught and now you're applying it to your life. You're praying for yourself. You're praying for the people around you. You're praying for your family. You're praying for your school. that mom, that dad, that single mom, you can now turn to your children and pray over them and see the results. You can pray and see God open up things for you. That businessman, that business seemed as though it was going south, but now you can pray and get God involved in your situation. What happened when God is on your side? I remember when I was playing basketball, and I noticed that a lot of times when you go to the basketball court, you have to stand on the sideline. And if they don't know who you are, they won't pick you. But once you play one game and they see the skills that you have, then it says, wait a minute, next time you're going first round, I'm going to pick you first. But we don't have Michael Jordan on our side. We don't have LeBron on our side. We don't even have Kobe on our side. But we have the God of the universe that's on our side. Think about that. We can have him come and he says, I will help you. He says, if you call unto me, I will then answer you. But I won't stop there. I will show you great and mighty things. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, beyond your wildest dream. Always remember, all right? I want you to listen up. Remember, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. So we're going to be continuing the same vein of teach me how to pray. But under that heading, we're going to talk about some keys as far as like what you should be incorporating into your prayer life. In the past, we have talked about living a clean life. I believe it was David that says, create in me, God. He says, do an introspect. Look inside of me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. In other words, God's saying that I want you to live a clean and a life that is pleasing to me. I believe it was the scripture that says if we regard any iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. So that's an obstruction to God fulfilling what he wants to do in your life. We also see that we should come before him appropriately, come before him with thanksgiving, come before his presence with singing. It's important that we come to him with the right attitude, come with the right posture when we come to God, knowing that he is our Abba Father. He's our Heavenly Father. He wants to know us more. See, prayer is not just asking him for these three, these four, give me four, these, and no more. But God says, no, I want to know you. I want you to know me. I want you to know me through the word of God. I want to communicate with you. You can talk to me, but also give me a chance to speak back to you. Don't be in such a rush when you get in the time of prayer. So those are times, and I believe even in my life, I've seen where my life has taken such a turn for the better because I know God better through his word. So it's important. I have a testimony here. I remember when my son is a jazz musician. And I remember back when he was in high school where he brought a bass home from school and he was actually supposed to be using that to practice. But in the haste, remember one night he came home and he forgot the bass in the car. How could you forget the bass in the car? Well, anyway, he forgot the bass in the car. Came back the following morning. He went to check the car. Did you take the bass out of the car? No, I didn't take the bass out of the car. Did you? No. Come to find out that the bass was stolen. My wife and I, we finally realized that the bass was stolen. We did not just say, okay, we're just going to just pay for the bass and just go for it. But we began to start praying. I remember my wife, she was praying. She went to the where we did the wash and she looked through the window and she began to start praying that the bass will come back to her. Now, to make a long story short, we end up going to a place where we found the bass and the bass was returned to us. So our prayers avail it much and we've got the bass back. Now, today what I want to talk to you about is the keys to your answered prayers. We see in 1 John 15:7, and also Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18. We're going to be extracting some information from both of these verses here. And I believe as we're talking about prayer, these are two scriptures that we have to keep in mind. First of all, St. John's chapter 15, verses 7. Now I'm going to start reading with verse 1. The scripture says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Wow. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, speaking of Jesus now, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you, young person. It shall be done for you, businessman. It shall be done for you, single mom. All right? Now, let's look at this closely again. First of all, we see this setting here. We see a vine dresser who is the caretaker of the garden. My wife loves to garden, and sometimes I see her go back to the back of the house, and she will spend a lot of time just taking care of her garden, making sure that the weeds are pulled out, make sure the seeds are getting appropriate water, making sure that, you know, things are put around it to keep the right shade, and she'll go to great length to make sure that the garden is taken care of. So we see here that this is a garden now, and Father God is now the caretaker of this garden. And in this garden, we see the subject matter, which is a vine. The Bible talks about it being the true vine, which is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the true vine. And then we see the branches, which are now connected to the vine. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are now connected to Jesus. That means that whatever Jesus has inside of him, we have the ability to, it has the ability to flow through us. Very clear. Now, in verse 7, that's where I want to kind of bring your focus to verse 7. Because now Jesus is now going to give us some nuggets. He's going to give us a better understanding of how our prayers should be effective. It starts off by saying, if. So that shows me that it's conditional. That means that you have to do something first. And notice how much time the word you is used. Let's read it again. If you abide in me, one, and my words abide in you, two, you, three, will ask what you, four, desire, and it shall be done for you. Five times the word you. That shows me that the answered prayer is not dependent on God, but it's dependent on you praying the proper way to get the answers from a God that gives it readily. You got that? Now let's look at it again. It says, if you abide. Now let's look closely at this word abide. This word abide comes from the Greek word meno, M-E-N-O. It means to stay in a given place, stay in a given state, or to continue. So the first thing it says, if you abide in me, meaning we have to now abide in Jesus. Spend time in relationship with him. Spend time telling how wonderful he is. Spend time just communicating with him and just worshiping him and praising him and glorifying his holy name. So he says, if you abide in me, that's the first thing. And then it says, and my words abide in you, you will then ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. So the second thing is that it says, my words shall abide in you. When you see the word words, there's two words that actually gives us a deeper meaning to what the definition of the word words mean. The first one is logos, and the second one is rhema. Logos is a title of God. It also speaks of something that is said. You remember in St. John's chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. In other words, what they're saying is that in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. So we see his use in that particular setting. Now, it also talks about logo. The word Word also speaks of rhema. You ever heard the scripture? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Rhema, or words that come forth out of the mouth of God. So that word means inspired words. When the word now leaps up off the page and become relevant to you. So he says, my rhema has to stay, meno, stay in you. For instance, what am I saying? For instance, you have a situation where you're praying for healing. You go and you extract some scriptures. You find the scriptures that talks about the promises of God. Like, for instance, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. That's a promise of God. We see in 1 Peter 2:24 that it says, by his stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53 speaks of, by his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon us. And by his stripes we are healed. So I now go and I take those promises of God and I spend time abiding in it. All right? Make it now get into my spirit until it becomes one with me. Because it's out of that promises is how your birth, your prayer is going to be birthed from that. So now let's go back to the scripture again. If you abide in me, meaning Jesus, and my rhema, my words abide in you, then you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So we see in 1 John verses 2 verses 14, it says, if we abide in his words, we overcome the wicked one. Could it be that the enemy is just running over us because we have not spent the time to stay, to remain, to allow his word to saturate our very being? Very important. So we abide, it means to stay. It allows us to now pray in line with his words, which is basically his will. You remember in First John, I believe it's 5 and 14, it talks about this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we pray anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. Very important. So now in St. John chapter 15, verses 7, it makes it very clear that before there is an asking, there is an abiding, there is a staying, there is a remaining. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20, and I'm going to give you some time to kind of find it, and I'm going to turn there with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20. You got it? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And it says, for all the promises, not some, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. So from God's perspective, he's saying, I have already said yes to my promises, and amen. Amen means so be it. I've already said yes. So now we have to now come in alignment by abiding in him and then putting him in remembrance of his word. So when we pray his word back to him. Father, remember you said that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. You see how that works? Very important, very important, very important. Now, it's important that what you hear is what you speak. Let me say that one more time. What you hear, for as a result of abiding is what you speak. And we see that this is explained through the Holy Spirit and also explained through the words that were spoken by Jesus. Let's look at the Holy Spirit. In St. John's chapter 16, verses 13. I want you to turn with me. St. John's chapter 16, verses 13. Let's read it. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, who are they referring to? The Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, there are four things that we see that when the Holy Spirit comes on the scene. He says, first of all, he will guide you into all truth. He will always tell you the truth. He will not lie to you. The scripture says that God is not a man that he should lie. The second thing is that he will not speak of his own authority. Third, what he hears is what he speaks. And fourth, he will tell you things to come. So the Holy Spirit is saying, what I hear is what I speak. Now let's look at Jesus as an example. In St. John's chapter 12, verses 49, I'm going to turn over a couple of scriptures here. St. John's chapter 12, verses 49. Let's read. For I have not spoken my own authority. I have not spoken on my own authority. But the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. So Jesus also is saying the same thing. What you hear is what you speak. So that's the reason why Jesus would take some time and he would just spend time with the Father. We see the ministry be going on and he would just leave and he will go to a solitary place and he would just stay and remain with the Father. What was he doing? He was abiding. He was hearing. He was listening to what God was telling him. And then he would speak what God told him to speak. In other words, he will pray what God is telling him to pray. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13, I want you to catch this also. It says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. It also goes on, it says, we believe, and therefore we speak. Let me say that again. I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We believe, and therefore we speak. So before we speak, there should be a believing. And how does the believing come? By the abiding. Abiding in that scripture until it sinks deep inside of your being and you really believe it. You really got it. Yes, God, by your stripes, I am healed. I know it for sure. So now when you open up your mouth to now pray, you're praying with a certainty. You're praying with absolutely. You see that? I'm glad you're catching this. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 16. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16. And it reads, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. When I looked at this word dwell, it means inhabit. It actually comes from the word enokio. Enokio. I'm not talking about Pinocchio. I said enokio. The first two words is en, and the rest of the word is onokio. The word en is where you get the word in, I-N. And the enokio, it gives you the idea of occupy a house. So when we put those together, it means to dwell and to occupy the house. So now let's read this word again. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it occupy. Let it stay in that house. Because when you abide, what happens? It flushes out doubt. And we understand that when we pray, we're not going to get back any answers if we're praying in doubt. That's why it's important for us to abide. Because if we abide, then we have Now, a built-in mechanism of the Word of God dwelling in us. We have faith that is being built inside of us. So when it's time for us to open our mouth and to pray, we're praying in faith. You remember Mark 11, 22 to 24? He says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that word verily, it also comes from a Greek word which means amen. So be it. He says, verily I say unto you, that if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and do not what? Doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say will come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Very important. So one of the keys to our prayers being answered is that we have to abide, we have to stay, we have to remain, and then we act according to his will. And watch God begin to start moving in your life, young person. Watch God begin to start moving in your life, businessman. Well, we didn't even get a chance to get into Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18, the second part. But I believe we'll talk about that next week. But right now, I just want to pray. Father God, I thank you. Father God, for the people, Lord God, that are listening. Pray, Father God, that these words, Lord God, will literally leap up off the pages and become relevant, Lord God, to their lives. That as they pray, they're praying, they're staying in you. They're spending time and abiding in you. And Father God, I thank you, Father God, that as they open up their mouth to pray to you, Father, they're praying your words back to you. We thank you, Father God. We declare shalom over your people. We declare the peace of God. And we ask all these things in Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen. Now, once again, I want you just to call us at 561-383-6574. But also, I want you to go on our website, maranathainter.org, and I want you to sow into this ministry. And also, I want you to come this Sunday to be a part of us, a part of this ministry. Show us, show us that you've been learning what you've been taught. All right, so we thank you, and I pray God's special blessings upon you in Jesus' name. God bless.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574. 561-383-6574.
A church of worship, the word and healing.
There's more than one way to support the WCNO ministry. Prayerfully and financially are only the two most obvious. But did you realize how important it is for you to let the programmers and corporate underwriters know that you heard about them right here at WCNO Radio? That's right. Always mention the call letters WCNO when you write, call, or visit the ministries or supporters of WCNO. That's WCNO.